All right, that means it's time for the Education Watchdog here on the Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio. Nathan Ruggles here with you today. Thanks so much for joining us here. I'd like to send some thanks out to both the Teamsters as well as the Pennsylvania AFL-CIO for supporting all of our program here at the Union Edge. And as always here, the Education Watchdog himself is in the studio, Butch Santacola. Butch, thanks for coming in today.
Hey, Nathan. I wouldn't miss it. You know how much I enjoy this show, and I want to thank the staff for taking care of my dogs. that's really good. Hey, today we're going to do something special. Somebody new to the Union Edge. We're going to interview the new treasurer of PSEA, Jeff Nye. Jeff, welcome.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing this morning?
We're hanging in there. Let me, Jeff, you're new to this leadership role in PSEA.
Yes, I am.
Okay, you became treasurer, I believe, on September 2nd.
That is correct.
And how did that come about, Jeff, so everybody understands this process?
Well, the president of PSEA at the time, Jerry Oleksiak, got a phone call from Governor Wolf and was offered a job to sit as his Secretary of Labor and Industry. And it was a position that Jerry realized for all unions out there. It was just an absolute great thing for him to be part of. So he accepted that position. PSEA, following our constitution and bylaws, needed to fill those positions. So as luck would have it, our vice president, Dolores McCracken, was moved to president of PSEA. Our board of directors then took action to immediately fill her vacancy because they wanted seamless transition and they wanted to make sure our members were taken care of. So the current treasurer at the time, Rich Askey, was appointed to be the new vice president of PSEA, and then which left a vacancy in the treasurer's spot, which then our board of directors once again took immediate action, and I was nominated and appointed to serve as the treasurer of PSEA.
So now you're with the big boys.
Yes, I am.
Well, I imagine you're getting a quick study on what's going on. Of course, you were on the board of directors, and you've been a long time leader in PSEA, so you're aware of everything that's going on out there. We're going to cover a couple, if you don't mind, Jeff, we're going to ask you some questions. We're going to cover a couple of the bases here for you. Is that okay?
That's absolutely fine.
All right. Now, you know, we're talking about, we've heard a lot, Charles, Nathan, and I have talked about it on this show several times, the issue of testing reform. Teachers have been saying for a long time that students spend far too much time in the classroom on standardized testing and test prep. What is such a big issue for PSEA members, the teachers everywhere?
Well, and I'll tell you what, I come from a very interesting background because as of the end of June, I was a fifth grade math and science teacher, so I got to see these testing firsthand right to the very end. And we know that in some areas, there's up to 110 hours of classroom time lost to practice tests, take testing strategies, things to do with these high-stakes testing, and they really just – it doesn't amount to much. Now, Governor Wolf and his administration has made the right call. They're reducing the time that students take spending on the PSSA tests. It's going to directly address the concerns of a lot of the educators all across the state that it's just too much emphasis on these standardized tests.
Jeff, is that his Every Student Succeeds Act?
That is. That's the ESSA, correct.
And compared to the No Child Left Behind, how does that compare?
For the people in the classroom, it's almost night and day. The No Child Left Behind Act, which has a great name in theory but in practice, was leaving classroom teachers scratching their heads trying to figure out heads or tails of exactly what's going on. It was a growth-based program, and I'm lucky enough, my wife teaches gifted support, a wonderful, wonderful teacher, and she was seeing her own ratings go down because her kids were already at the top. There was nowhere else for them to go. So people like that were being very much pigeonholed into that No Child Left Behind category as far as their scoring.
Do we have any, is it too soon to have any kind of read or survey results or anything stating the improvement or it's leveled off or anything relating to the Every Student Succeeds Act?
It's a little bit too early to tell that. The major changes that Governor Wolf and his team and the administration has made will be put into place for this school year. So as you well know, the We have to go through a couple years of testing to make sure that the system is working the right way, and then we would have results after that.
Something just crossed my mind on this. You know, one of my favorite topics here is Betsy DeVos, Secretary Betsy DeVos. Has she done anything?
I know she's your favorite person.
Let me tell you, she has an open invitation to appear in the show. Chances of that happening? But is it anything she done that you're aware of to help Pennsylvania students?
To help?
Yes.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
No. Probably you're not going to get her on our show. She's probably afraid of your dogs. But the idea of
that's why she won't come.
The idea that she is trying to help anybody other than her private sector friends is just – we just haven't seen it.
You know,
She's not doing anything to help our public schools.
I just saw on Facebook released by the AFT that they're doing some kind of nationwide project. I'm not sure what it is, inviting her to public schools. And I've said all along, Jeff, every school in Pennsylvania should be writing her a letter, please come and visit with us. You know, please come and visit with us to find out what's going on. I was just curious as to whether – you know, she has done anything in Pennsylvania. I happen to believe she's a disaster, an absolute disaster. I'm speaking to a group of retired teachers next week, and we're going to talk about Betsy and the impact on education. It's going to be fun. If they made the right call, if Governor Wolf made the right call in reducing the time students spend taking PSSA tests, how do you think this is going to affect teachers and students? Is there going to be more time for one-on-one?
I think it'll be more time to give the students what they need. Let's be honest. I mean, every teacher in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania who chose their career in public education did it for one reason, and that's to help the students of Pennsylvania. Less time preparing for tests, taking tests, getting these kids all ramped up for something that they don't even see the scores of until they're done with that teacher is just counterproductive. Every one of the teachers in Pennsylvania should be jumping up and down happy that the testing is lowering, that the amount of time is being lowered, so that they can spend the time giving the students exactly what they need. The individualized attention, absolutely. Give the kids the differentiated instruction that they need to learn, because we all know that students learn very differently from one another, absolutely. Again, it gives us the time, the flexibility, and the ability to give the students of Pennsylvania exactly what they need.
You know, you and I have something in common, Jeff. We are both fifth grade teachers. And so we know, of course, I was back in the day when they had the cans and the strings, you know, to speak to principals.
Is that how you talk to the office?
Right. Please come down to the butcher's room. But anyhow,
hey, those mimeograph machines were one in a million. Man.
Oh, you know what?
We had to love those things.
Well, yeah, you go in, you take a deep breath, you know. You know, you
the Ditto copy.
The Ditto, yeah, they were great. They were great. But anyhow,
we're all dating ourselves here.
Oh, yes,
you
we are. Yes, we are, Nathan. But Jeff, the time commitment. I mean, just having more time with the students has to be a real plus. I don't know a teacher that would say otherwise. Teachers today are. I know. I sat and talked to one of our board members, one of your board members, 2 weeks ago, Mary Lou Stefanko, who I've known for years and years and years, like you, and she's just unbelievably swamped with the assignments of, you know, the testing, the new computers, everything that's coming. It's taken away from teacher-pupil time. And I don't know how we get around that. I don't know how the union gets around that, because you're not the ones who are going to make the decision. You can make recommendations, but you can't make the decision. You have any ideas how we can do that?
The time commitment that is needed to keep up with 21st century stuff. I'll tell you what, a lot of the schools have embraced, just a little bit off topic, embraced that STEM topic, the science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. And I understand that there are veteran teachers out there, and even new teachers out there, that are having a hard time keeping up with new technology, because we all know as soon as you walk out of a store with a computer, it's already out of date. And to keep up with all of those different programs, the only thing that really can happen is that locals keep working with their districts and keep pointing out the fact that as this new stuff comes out, there needs to be some training. There needs to be all of the time commitments being given to the teaching profession to try to make sure that they are as up to date so that they can pass along that information to the students. Now, I probably won't be able to find a teacher across the Commonwealth that won't agree that sometimes when you bring out some of this technology, the kids are better at it than we are. And a lot of times that actually can help a teacher, because now the student is taking responsibility in the classroom, and they kind of work together to make that stuff move forward.
You know, you're absolutely right on the students. I have grandkids that are in fifth grade will say, Papa, let me do it. Papa, let me do it. I mean, I have no clue. They get it done right away.
Yeah, who's the teacher and who's the student then, right? So, okay, well, we do need to take a break, but we will be back here in just a minute with Education Watchdog Butch Santacol and his guest Jeffrey Nye of the PSEA. This is Nathan Ruggles here with you. We'll be back in a moment.
The International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 66, works with builders and contractors to build a better community. Local 66's tradesmen and women have received the specialty training needed to meet the complex challenges of any project, making them the most capable workforce in the region. From schools, highways, and pipeline projects to casinos and arenas, the operating engineers build any job, large or small. For over 100 years, Local 66 has provided superior service that our community can count on. They are your one-stop resource for qualified and productive operating engineers and heavy equipment mechanics. To learn more about the benefits of organized labor and more information about the International Union of Operating Engineers Local 66, go to www.iuoe66.org. That's www.iuoe66.org.
Music is a bridge between the material and the spiritual. My name is Harvey Lauer, and I'm 82. As a blind person, you have to be aware that nobody can tell you what you can or can't do. You really have to try things. My folks got me a little radio in 1940, and that was the best Christmas present I ever got. When I was 11 years old is when I started to play music, play the piano, and then the accordion, and then the cello. My wife, who was also blind, was a good cook. When she died, that's when I started Meals on Wheels. America, let's do lunch.
It's Meals on Wheels.
1 in 6 seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at americaletsdolunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
We are the BCTGM fighting for American jobs. Nabisco, maker of iconic snack brands like Oreo, Ritz Crackers, and Chips Ahoy, has made its fortunes in America, and its patriotic response has been to send U.S. jobs to Mexico. As a result, consumers across the U.S. continue to boycott their Mexican-made products. Corporate revenues are down across North America. Consumers are sending a loud, clear message. Now, religious leaders from all faiths across the U.S. are calling for an investigation into this Nabisco business model and have scheduled a 6-city tour to look deeper into the matter. Just as the NAFTA negotiations are in the forefront, the faith community will begin to talk to workers, politicians, and other faith-based leaders addressing this U.S. jobs exodus by Nabisco from a moral and ethical perspective and widely publishing their findings. The BCTGM and Interfaith Workers Justice, its faith-based coalition partner, ask all people of faith and social conscience to join this fight against Nabisco's exploitation of workers in the U.S. and in Mexico. Millions are already not buying Nabisco products made in Mexico, and it's already impacting their bottom line. Join our fight for moral and economic justice at fightforamericanjobs.org.
1 in 7 Americans will struggle with addiction during their lifetime. Want to know how you can help? Go to heretolisten.com for tips and tools to help turn addiction around. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council.
Most of my family, they never graduated high school, so I'm trying to break that barrier.
My daughter, Brooklyn, was also a motivation for me to go back to school.
Every day after work, went straight to school, and it paid off.
At age 26, Kareem finished his high school diploma.
I could not have done it alone. I see the future is really bright for me.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
I'm more resourceful than I thought.
My suit can still make an impression.
My video games are still game changers.
And my lamp can bring others a bright future.
Because when I donate my stuff to Goodwill,
it helps fund job placement and training for people right in my community.
Now my stuff gets a second chance.
And will give someone in my community
a second chance too.
Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. That's goodwill.org. This message brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
And that's the sound of the dogs. It's Education Watchdog here on the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio. Nathan Ruggles here with you today. And as always, we have in studio with us right here, Butch Santacola, Education Watchdog himself. Butch, always great to have you in here.
Oh, it's always great to be here. You know, the dogs are telling me they want to go to Washington, D.C. and bring Betsy back. So we're going to see what's going to happen.
Well, we'll see what happens. I don't know.
Hey, Jeff, you still there?
As Jeff said, I think she's scared of the dogs.
I wouldn't miss a minute of this.
Oh, I'm glad. I'm glad.
Well, I have one thing I wanted to, you know, following up what you guys were talking about is that as far as testing, you know, I don't think I've ever talked to anyone who in their experience as a student ever thinks back to their days back in school and go, gosh, you know, I am so glad I took all those those standardized tests. It made me the memories of that is what made me a person I am today. But they do say, what do they say? They say, I had a great teacher.
That's
right. Back in
right.
fifth grade or whatever, right? That's what makes the difference.
Yeah, that certainly does. I was a horrible test taker even back then. And that's what I've always said. The teachers I had were phenomenal, fantastic people. So, Jeff, you still there?
Yes, sir.
All right, listen, I'd like to jump to topics here for a second, for a minute. Then we can get into some other things maybe. The state budget has just been a buzz here in Pennsylvania. I mean, you have a budget or you don't have a budget? You have something passed, you don't have something passed. Can you tell me what's going on with the state budget?
Well, the last we heard from across the street a couple of days ago on October the 4th, Governor Wolf took matters into his own hands to resolve the budget impasse and to make sure that the state can pay its bills after repeated failures of the House to pass a responsible plan to pay for the state's budget. So the governor announced he would be following the state representatives. They actually voted 115-83 to kill a plan to have a fair tax on our Marcellus shale drillers, which would have helped to close the budget gap, would have given us the reoccurring revenue that our state needs very, very dearly. So without that budget, Governor Wolf announced that he will scrutinize profits from our state liquor stores. He's going to raise the $1.25 billion to pay off nearly all of the state's deficit and significantly reduce the need for additional temporary borrowing to pay our bills, which I both know is not a good idea.
Yeah, that's interesting. People are going to have to drink more to pay for the public schools then, basically. there was agreement on how much the state would invest in public schools, no question. But there's no agreement yet on how to pay for it. Now, what does that tell us? What happens now? There's no agreement. Do you have any idea?
I don't, because every time we turn around and we think that there might be a possible way to pass a budget to have that reoccurring revenue, you're absolutely right. At the end of June, the General Assembly did pass the budget that included a spending budget for public education, but we have absolutely no idea how they're going to continue to pay for the different things.
Wow, that just amazes. You know, everybody's buzzing about it. I get calls from some of my brothers and sisters from across the country asking me, is that true? What's going on in Pennsylvania? They said, yeah. I said, yeah. They said, well, make sure it doesn't happen here. So there's great concern over that, the budget. You know, I foresee down the road, Jeff, and I don't want to be a naysayer on what the governor's doing, because at least he's making an attempt to fund the schools. But I got a problem after the first of the year. We're going to have a problem paying for that. Something's going to get cut. And it could be in funding. He says he's going to keep it. But I tell you what, I just have a sinking feeling on that. We're going to have to stay on top of what the legislators are going to do and the governor, because I got a feeling my own, all those many years I spent in the trenches tell me that something's going to be given here real soon.
And it's very difficult for the teachers and the support professionals that are in the classroom, because we all know, being in the classroom as long as we've been there, everybody reaches into their pocket to give stuff to their kids. I was buying pencils and erasers and different things like that for my students simply to try to help my district back home to make ends meet. And like I said, I was very happy when the budget came out at the end of June, because they were putting increases into basic ed funding, increases into special ed funding, increases into pre-K, which is a fantastic increase. And they were doing some cuts to the transportation funding, a restoration of those cuts, to make sure that everybody gets there. But everybody's doing their part. We just have yet to see from our legislators across the street how they're going to continue to fund this and to pay for this.
You know, Jeff,
because all of the ideas that we have, they're just not listening to. They can't even agree themselves.
Yeah, one of the things I did when I recommended to every local, every union I worked with, take a survey of your members. Find out how much money they spend on, personal money they spend on supplies to help the school district. Well, no, Butch. Well, those that did it said, oh, my gosh, our people spend an average of $200-$300 a year on school supplies. Well, you do that with 10 teachers, you got $2,000 in that building or that little segment that they're putting into the schools. It's fascinating. That was fascinating to me that nobody was keeping track of that. And I'll bet you if you went back, like you just said, you bought erasers, pencils, other materials for your classroom. Every elementary teacher in Pennsylvania does that.
I don't know that people always know that, how much the teachers are putting back.
That's
right.
That's my point.
My mother was an art teacher, public school art teacher, and even though they had an independent foundation of philanthropists that gave money just for their art program, she was always showing all kinds of money every year. You imagine art supplies.
Sure.
I mean, it's incredible.
Sure. And that's something maybe we ought to be publicizing a little bit more. It's not a greed issue. It's not a this is a real caring issue. Teachers are willing to put up their own money to put some supplies in the buildings. So, Jeff.
Well, not just supplies, but just learning opportunities.
There's
a teacher back home in my district who got into a foundation and is teaching the students about saltwater aquariums.
There you go.
And he has taken out of his own pocket and his own time, because obviously he's teaching during the course of the day, and he's not only traveling around just our school district, but all around Northeast Pennsylvania and helping out people who want to bring this back into the classroom to give kids practical knowledge. Hey, this is something that maybe kids would be interested in, and they're not exposed to it anywhere else, and he's giving up his own time, money, and efforts to make this happen, to give something a little bit extra to the kids.
Yep. And Jeff, let me ask you a question. You were born, raised, educated, and your whole professional career has been spent in Wilkes-Barre.
That is absolutely correct. I was the very first kindergarten class in a newly built elementary school after the flood of 72 up there in Northeast PA, and stayed in Wilkes-Barre ever since.
Wow. That's quite, you know, there are not many people can claim that that occurs in their life. But you would have as you've been president of the you've been active in PSCA at various levels. You've been on the budget committee, collective bargaining committee, audit committee, property committee, a bunch of things.
Yep.
You would have a handle on the bargaining process in Pennsylvania.
I started off my very first tenured year, my third year of teaching. I had a great mentor, and he said, come on with me. I want you to come to a rep council meeting with me. And it was all downhill from there. I fell in love with this union.
It might have been, no. It was uphill, and you climbed the ladder, Jeff. You climbed the ladder. Congratulations on that.
It was just one thing after another, and like I said, being here now and watching all the things that I thought would happen are happening, and even more so. I cannot tell people enough how much this organization works for each and every member that we have.
That's absolutely true, Jeff. That's very frustrating. And I'm going to tell you something. It has its hooks in you now. And even if you retire, like I've done, it's not going to leave you. You're always going to be there with PSCA.
Well, maybe they'll give me a radio show when I get done.
Well, I'll tell you what. I hope I'm around to give it to you. Let's put it that way. Well, Jeff, we're running out of time. And is there anything you like? We want to get you back on somewhere down the road, if that's okay.
I would absolutely love it. Absolutely.
And is there anything you'd like to add to our conversation today?
I just want to thank you guys for putting a spotlight on some of these issues and to start the conversation. I think that's what this Commonwealth needs more than anything else. It just needs people to continue talking about it. Whether you're on one side or the other, that's fine, but having a conversation about it, bringing it out, that's going to be the key to solve the problems and to make sure that Pennsylvania continues to be the number one supporter of students.
Well, it sounds good. Thank you so much. That's Jeff Nye, treasurer, fairly new treasurer of PSCA here on the Education Watchdog, and thanks for being with us. And of course, thank you, Butch Santacola, for the education watchdog himself coming in.
Hey, it's always a pleasure. Always a pleasure, Nathan. You know that.
All right. And thank you so much. This is Nathan Rogers here with you on the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio.